9. Hey, Hardy, wake up!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated?
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Bansy Fall and you want to have a Prance and Hansel all in Fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Mr. Neilinger, what's for breakfast?
Stewed apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go.
You're on the high ground with Craig Flowers.
Johnny.
Heyo.
Well, Craig's up in Abilene.
Oh, yeah?
Are you ready to go?
Ready as I'll ever
Let's
be.
Let's do it.
Let's hit the road.
Morning. Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Texas. Good morning, Austin. And you got us up here in the high ground. I got a special guest in the studio. We got Will the Thrill Brown and Johnny Oates right there behind the glass pushing the buttons.
We aren't the special guests, though.
No, we are not. Special guests coming up in the first segment. Well, the Colonel's up there in Abilene doing the Air It Out Academy. Up in Abilene, working with the young high school football players for leadership skills. But he'll be down here at he'll be calling in right about 10:30. But welcome to the high ground with Will Brown and Jamie Frazier.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. Johnny, what's going on? Glad to have you back.
It's good to be back.
You got stuck up there in Dallas last week.
Oh,
We had Chad pushing the buttons for us last week.
It's true. I got stuck in layover from hell. I was on the tarmac for over 2 hours.
I know. The big boss was here. Everybody had to get in on time.
Yeah. we had to be nice, talk everything.
I know.
They did a good job pushing the buttons. But, yeah, when the Colonel's away, we kind of go a little bit off script.
Yeah, the mice will play.
Yeah, but we still have to do our drop. Go ahead, drop it, Johnny.
Learn it. Know it. Live it.
That's words to live by right there.
I never know what drop we're going to get.
I like to keep you on your toes.
I like it.
It changes. We're sponsored by Sportsman's Finest. If you are hunting or fishing in the great state, head up there before you head out. New store hours open 7 days a week. They used to be closed on Monday, but they're open all 7 days a week for all your needs. Great gunsmithing out of Sam when you're up there. Gunsmithing guns, ammo, they got it all. Go up there and get them. And today we do have a special guest in the studio. We are Will Squared because we got
that's right.
We got the beautiful Chief Texan from Chizo's Boots, Will the Thrill Roman, the Chief Texan. What's up?
Howdy, howdy.
How you doing, sir?
Always great to be here.
Oh, can't wait to get you on air here. This morning we're gonna, which leads us to the Chizo's Morning Story.
The Morning Story.
Yeah, this morning's Jesus Morning Story is kind of a unique one because we have the Chief Texan from Chizo's Boots himself, Will Roman. What's going on, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I love that we got the rain cleared away in the middle of the night. It's gorgeous out here.
But it's nice and chilly. I didn't expect this weather in April. I thought we'd be in about 89 degrees by now. But today's morning story is right up your alley, and I gave you a call, and I invited you in, and I can't wait to hear. I'm going to go through a little bit what we got, and then I want to hear your opinion on this. The morning story today is cowboy boots, and there's so much. I'm sure you're a student of this because you've looked up cowboy boots. Ton of history, where they came from, who started it. And
it's fascinating.
It's fascinating, but there's no concrete, like, hey, where do we get these cowboy boots here? And I'm looking for cowboy boots in Texas, but let's just say cowboy boots here in America. I looked up the Wikipedia, of course, because that's where everyone goes. Referred to specific style of riding boot historically worn by cowboys. They have a high heel traditionally made from stacked leather, rounded or pointed toe, high leather shaft, and traditionally no lacing. And that's for safety, actually. I just want to tell you that. Normally made from cowhide, maybe decoratively hand-tooled, and sometimes made from exotic skins like alligator, snake, ostrich, eel, elephant, stingray, elk, buffalo, or shark. Pretty much if it's alive, you can make boots out of it. That's what I'm thinking. There's two basic styles, and we'll debate this later, but the two basic styles are Western and Roper. Now, this is all from Wikipedia. You get your 2 minutes.
Highly enlightening, this Wikipedia.
Okay. Cowboy boots history is a highly debated topic. Some say they're all the way from the Mongol Empire with Genghis Khan. I'm just reading it. But the modern cowboy boot...
I think you edited that this morning before you wrote it down.
I did. But the modern cowboy boot more than likely came from the Mexican vaquero, from the Spanish riding boot influence. Cowboys wore the mass-produced Wellington boot until the 1860s, shorter cavalry-style boot. The American-style boot was adopted in cattle ranching areas of Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. And the two most well-known at the time boot manufacturers were the Heider Brother Boots from Kansas and Justin Boots in Texas.
Well, I'm already going to debate this here.
That's why.
Kansas being thrown in there.
I know, but I'm rolling with what you got. But tell us the history.
Well, I mean, that's a good warm-up. I mean, it's fascinating, right? I mean, the biggest piece here that I would mention is that the English riding boots, you know. The Wellington were pretty standard, but
I have a pair of those. I do. My wife, my wife's a trainer.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
A horse trainer. She's I have the whole gear, man. I got everything. She wanted me to be a rider, and my boots have zippers on them.
Yeah, we don't do that. So those mixed in. Then you had the vaqueros coming up from Mexico, but Texas is really where it all came together. And you know, the huge piece we have to mention here is that, you know, think of the Texas Longhorn cattle. They changed, you know, the ranching industry. I mean, they created essentially the American ranching industry was here in Texas. You had to do these massive cattle drives north to Kansas, right, as you mentioned, and elsewhere. Yeah. It's the single largest migration of animals in the history of the planet, at least driven by humans, and it will probably never happen again. But they needed new gear. And that's why this custom boot making was driven, because the heels on the Wellingtons were too low. Mm-hmm. The vaqueros didn't have the same type of craftsmanship that they were bringing. And so there was this merger here in Texas of, how do we create something, you know, it's great for riding. You can leather soles, get out of the stirrup quickly, you know, it's durable, protect from snake, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So, I mean, Texas has left its mark, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and the cattle rancher has a big, you know, obviously a big foot in it. You know, no pun intended, but they, you know, I mean, it was designed for the cattle rancher. A lot of it sounds like is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, purpose built.
So, you know, they make a statement here that they have stacked leather heels.
Yeah.
Okay.
If
they're made right, do they? I never knew they made them any differently, but they do now. They make them differently.
Well, there's been a transition, right? So you're going from one cobbler, one craftsman creating the entire thing, soup to nuts, to now you've got these massive companies, and you know they're turning out hundreds of pairs a day as opposed to one pair a month.
Yeah, it's become a widget.
At some places, it's become a widget, and there are varying degrees of people who are still committed to handcrafting and the old methods. And so that's what you see now, is that like you almost have to mention stack leather heels, full leather heel counters, you know, steel shanks, proper construction, because, you know, not all boots are made equal.
Now, was I correct in the Heider boot and from Canada? Have you heard of all these? And you've obviously heard of Justin boot. And what were the forefathers that were back then, and what years were this? This was like 1860s.
I mean, I think Rios or Mercedes is the oldest boot company in Texas at 1953.
Okay,
if I'm correct, Lucchese came in the 1883. There's a couple of Italians that came over here and started boot companies. Mm-hmm. So the cattle migrations in Texas were, you know, the 1860s, the 1890s was kind of the heyday.
Okay,
and here's a really interesting piece of trivia. Which is that outside of that range, you know, cowboy boots started to take a dive in terms of their popularity. And what would happen is Hollywood would make a movie.
John Wayne?
You've got John Wayne, but even before that, right?
Really?
But, and even with Tom Cruise and Top Gun.
Oh, that's right.
Wearing boots, right? There was a huge cowboy boot.
He had his big Texas flag on the back of his AT flight letter.
Hey, you had to put Ray-Bans on with those boots.
Yeah.
They just came in the package. And all the cowboy boot spikes in sales were driven by Hollywood. And then you got Urban Cowboy and all these things, right? I'm serious. So right now, we're experiencing a boom in cowboy boot sales, and it's the first one that's actually not driven by Hollywood.
Is it driven by Californians coming to Texas?
I think it's driven by Texas's world stage. I mean, we ship boots. Chiso ships boots all over the country and all over the world.
Yeah.
I've been over across the pond a few times, and you mentioned you're from America, and you can mention any state, but if you mention Texas, they exactly know what Texas is. Versus, like, if I went over there and I was like, hey, I'm from Idaho, you know, they'd be like, you're American, but since you're from Texas, you're Texan.
I got a funny story. So I wear my boots and my hat generally anytime. I wear them most days anyway, but especially when I'm outside the country. You know, you're a representative, right?
Yeah, you're repping.
You're right. You know, you're the ambassador of Texas. And so anytime I go to places, Europe, Asia, whatever, and, like, someone who doesn't speak English will see me in the boots, and they'll be like, oh, cowboy, bang, bang, yeah. Bang, bang. Perfect timing.
That's you.
Get a pair of cowboy boots.
But I went to Israel, and it's the first place where this guy walks by and he sees me, and it was like the kids, and they're like, oh, Sheriff, bang, bang. I was like, I got upgraded from a cowboy to a sheriff. I'll take it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I tell you what, you can go anywhere in the world, and they ask you where are you from, you say Texas,
of course,
and they just go crazy.
Yeah,
I mean they're it's renowned. I mean, Levi's are renowned over the world just for things, not necessarily the cowboys. Most cowboys that I see that are true cowboys are wearing Wranglers and stuff like that.
And Levi's, a lot of that correlated to, like, the gold rush.
That's like
there's a big history behind that.
Yeah, you know your history.
Yeah, they're dungarees. That was a big gold rush, and they'd outfit the miners with those. Yeah.
They kind of figured out denim, I guess, and the toughness of it. And it's kind of it's correlated to the story of the boot and stuff like that, which is real interesting.
Well, being one of our sponsors, our main sponsors here, what's going on at Cheez-Us?
Oh, man, we've got some fun stuff coming up. It's funny that you mentioned cowboy boot versus roper.
Yeah.
Because we only make cowboy boots, wink, wink, nod, nod, but we might be working on something.
Was that the two categories that are still there? They said Western and ropers. Those are the two categories.
Well, we don't make Western boots. We make Texas cowboy boots.
Well, in your opinion, what difference, you know, what is the differentiator on that, if I could say that word right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's the classic thing is that a roper has a much shorter heel. You're talking about 1 inch or less. It generally goes straight. I mean, think about it. They're developed for guys that are doing literally calf roping. Mm-hmm. So you're jumping off the horse and then you need to run in your boots versus a typical classic riding boot is designed to be used in the stirrup, right. You know? So it's got that big heel. It's got a slant to it. It's got higher uppers on it. So there's some nuances to that, but we're going to do a little tweak on it, as we always do.
And what about your manufacturing process? Or, you know, it seems like your process is more of an art, right, than it is, like you were talking about the mass production. You know, what are some of the steps and stuff that, you know, that you include?
I appreciate that classification. I like to think of myself as an artiste.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, you've told us about the process of everything and how diligent everything is that you want it to be, and it kind of is.
Absolutely. So, I mean, look, if you're going to do something, you might as well do it right.
Absolutely.
You know, and I want to be proud of what we produce. And so one of the things that we focus on is these old school techniques. So, you know, our boots are a merger of modern, you know, impact dissipating technology and these type of things for comfort. You know, I had a busted my back in a motorcycle accident and needed to figure out how I could still wear boots. And so, but when I started going down this process, I found out about these big manufacturers putting in plastics, putting in canvas, using glues and things like this. And so we actually went back and used, like, a hand channel welt carved into the leather. And so what you need to know is that we use leather all the way through.
Yeah.
And it's the same way it was made 100 years ago. And people don't do it now because it takes a little longer.
And y'all are even using the lemonwood nails?
The lemonwood pegs.
Pegs.
Yep. We use lemonwood peg construction on the bottom of the soles, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we use, 12, 13 iron thick soles.
The most comfortable cowboy boots I've ever worn. And I'm not saying it because you're the sponsor.
Are they the only boots you've ever worn?
No. Why are you doing this? This is bad.
Got to keep it honest.
Yeah. No, they're not.
That's true. You came in boots when you got them.
And they are sharp looking, too. They are
sharp. Just giving you a hard time.
Hurtful. Hateful. Hey, and we'll be back in just a minute with Will Brown, Will Rome, the Chief Texan, talking a little bit of sports, talking a little bit more about cowboy boots. See ya.
This is Trace Atkins wishing my friend Craig Flowers all the best in Austin, Texas. I'll see you on the high ground.
Well, Trace, he's up in Abilene right now, but he'll be calling in at 10:30. We're coming back to the high ground. We got the Will Squared here. Will Brown from Jack Brown Cleaners and Will the Thrill Roman, which is our Chief Texan from Cheesehead's Boots. What is interesting to me is you're a UT grad.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hook'em Horns.
Did you go to very many football games while you're out there when you're going to school?
I never missed one.
You never missed
100%.
Who was your favorite player when going to school?
You're talking about the Vince Young era.
Yeah, Vince Young.
I mean, I was the hybrid between Young and McCoy.
I loved your story.
Oh, so you had the best years.
Yeah.
It can only go downhill, and obviously it did.
I love the story when you went to the Rose Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
The road trip to the Rose Bowl, that's something that we're not going to talk about
it. Thank you.
But it was very interesting. You ever go to the Cheez-Its factory over there at 3507 South First Street, you need to come in and say hello to
I'll tell you that story in person.
Yeah,
that's
tell the story in person and have the Chief Texan tell them the story. It's very unique, and it brings...
Hey, you got to do what you got to do to get into the Rose Bowl. That's all I'm going to say.
That's it. And you did it. It's great. Willie Brown, we got the draft coming up.
Yes, sir.
And we do have a lot of UT guys that are expected to go in the draft. We have actually a couple guys that may very well go in the first round, which is amazing.
What are you talking about? Cosme and Cosme... Golly, man, that guy had a pro day like no other, didn't he?
Yeah, it was.
Who, Osai also?
Yeah, you get. Oh man, you get that pitch. I don't know what that's from. Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
All right, I'm back.
Okay, but Cosme, great. He's projected. Richard Jr., 6'7", 310, expected to go in all these other draft projections, the first or second round, and then you got Joseph Osai. Who's an edge rusher, 6'4", 250, and he can possibly go first round right now. A lot of projections have him first or second round. But that's amazing because we've had a long drought of a lot of UT football players actually going to the NFL and making it in the draft.
Yeah, Texas has had like a drought of offensive linemen, too. I mean, and they kind of changed out with Connor Williams a couple years ago, and then Sam Cosme is projected to be, late first round or whatnot.
Yeah.
Golly, when I saw that guy's pro day, I think he ran a 4.8 40. That's a left tackle at 6'7".
That's
amazing.
And
I think I want to say he threw up 225 close to 40 times also. So that guy earned a little bit of money on that day. But I've watched, we've both watched Joseph Osai play, especially since he changed over positions to the rush end. And when they finally went back to a 4-3 defense, that guy shined.
Oh.
And I can see him having a really good impact, and a lot of teams falling in love with that guy.
Everyone's looking for an edge. They really are. The edge rusher, they're just, he's, but, you got Taquan Graham, Sam Ellinger, they're looking, they're looking fourth to seventh round, which I don't think it's, I think it's great for him. He's going to get on team and, hopefully find a home and have a great career. He's a hard worker, and he's got a decent arm. You got Eagles, who's a junior, and he's a wide receiver, and they think he'll go sixth round all the way up to free agent.
Well, that guy, that guy's got the dimensions to make it in the NFL. He's the 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", guy, and you know, he's got the talent. So yeah, I could definitely see somebody taking a shot on him.
Chris Brown, another safety, and they projected fifth round.
Yeah, that guy's a big hitter.
Yeah, he is. Tariq Black, another wide receiver that they think will go in.
Yeah, but he's basically via Michigan, and he was just kind of came in for a 1 year.
He did.
And I don't know enough about him to see. I really don't know much about Tariq Black.
But a lot of guys are, you know, young kids looking. They're looking for that jump to the NFL, and they want to see that the upperclassmen that are going to the NFL draft, and this is going to put a big mark on that, because these guys are going to get the looks and get out there and play.
Well, let's all. I mean, there's one thing that we can just say as fact is that Herman had more success than Strong.
That's true,
right? Yeah. And Sarkisian's coming in here with a better situation than Herman probably had. I mean, we can't forget that Herman did win four bowl games and, you know, had winning seasons. He definitely, I think, he recruited better talent here.
I think the NCAA is actually looking at players too, and looking a little bit out of welfare for players, because they're opening the portal for players to switch May 1st. So if you go to spring ball and you look that you're in the depth chart so deep that you're not going to get playing time, you may want to go to either D2 or 1AA team or another 1A team that you can think that can make an impact.
Don't you think that's fair?
I think it's fair.
I mean, if we're not going to pay the kids, let them be where they want to be.
Yeah, they want to get the reps. They want to get out there. You know? They want to get some looks.
But you know what, though? Like, I'm going to transition over here, but the portal thing really seems to have benefited Chris Beard over in the basketball. I don't know if you've kept
I
up
been
with.
Looking.
He's really got a lot of transfers. He's actually gotten a. I think Jericho Sims might be coming back. I'm not sure.
There's a lot of question marks on that. Who did just come back?
They had Cunningham come back, Andrew Jones come back. I don't know. There's another player off the team, but there's a. I don't know if the speculation on Greg Brown. I really haven't read much on it last week. But I did see three or four transfers come in that Chris Beard got in a commitment, I think, from the Dallas area. So he says he wants to win now.
Yeah.
So, and it looks like he's bringing in that, you know, he's kind of bringing in a hodgepodge of players. But
there's a buzz. Yeah. Everybody's coming. That's interesting. Did you get many basketball games when you're in there, Big Will?
Not as many.
No.
Not as many.
Just football games.
Yeah, you know.
And when you say Big Will, he's just taller than me. I'm rounder, okay? Just call me Plump Will and Tall Will over there. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito from the movie Twins.
Oh, my God. I'll go by Cowboy Will. You can be Sexy Will.
Okay, yeah. I don't know what you're thinking that's sexy over here, but I appreciate it.
Did you get him any baseball games?
You probably got the same many as basketball games.
I love going to baseball games.
I do. This baseball team is knocking it. It's crazy.
I mean, you were telling me that. I've been paying attention.
They're
third, and they have
11 straight wins. And today they're playing, I think it's 2:30, 2:15 pregame.
11's a good number. 11. You know the only number better is 12.
So did you see the kid Melendez? Is that his name? Or he had like... Do you have a UT record? 9 home runs, 9 games in a row with a home run,
yeah,
or something
right.
like that.
Wow. Yeah.
I think this Tuesday he finally snapped. Well, I mean, I think he had a double and a couple of RBIs, but he just didn't have a home run that game. I need to start getting more into researching the baseball team, but I know they have a stud and an ace in Madden.
Yeah, they were. They had a really neat thing on ESPN last night with the Rocket. And he went through a lot, because he goes through a lot of history with himself and then his two sons that played baseball here at UT. And, you know, he is a huge UT supporter. I didn't know a lot about him, but he grew up in Houston, was a poor kid when he grew up. He didn't know he was poor because his mom worked two jobs to make sure he had all the fancy cleats, the new gloves.
Are you talking about the Rocket, Roger?
Yeah. I didn't know that. But it was interesting. It was and they, you know, they kind of strolled around his house, and like every wall in his house has some kind of an award that he's had. I mean, it's completely wall to wall.
Well, he pitched the national championship game,
right?
The 83 season.
Right.
So that was, and the thing was, he wasn't even the best pitcher on that team.
Really?
Yeah. There was a couple. I think Schiraldi and Bert Hooten were on that team. You know, I'm way too young to really know that. I was born in 79, or I just know the names. But, yeah, supposedly he wasn't even the best pitcher on that team.
Yeah, he was.
And then after that, I think they had Greg Swindell come in. They had a really – the 80s UT baseball was so much fun. They had so much great talent in that time period.
Augie wasn't there then.
No, that was all Cliff Ball, man. That was Gus.
Yeah.
That was Gus, man.
Augie's a unique – we need to do a story on just Augie. He was an interesting
cat. Yeah, that we could fill
definitely
up.
We could
yeah.
do you we could do hours on Augie.
You could do a docu-series on Augie.
I don't even know. Did you even know Augie? Because Augie was there when you were there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Just on the periphery.
Just on the periphery. Yeah. Man, he's got some interesting.
You know, I think Augie won a national title like in four or five different decades. Yeah. 70s, 80s, 90s, aughts. Four of them, yeah.
But he definitely put his mark on UT baseball. He interesting cat. We're going to go take a break, and then we'll be back with Will the Thrill Roman and Will the Thrill Brown. And we're going to have the Colonel in studio. So we'll be right back.
Views expressed on this program do not reflect those of the Horn or any other sane human being.
I love the nightlife. I love my Bud Light. I like them cold and tall. Ain't much
on
mowing thick grass.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Oates, do we got the Colonel on board?
Yes, sir. He's with us.
Colonel, you there? But I'm pretty good at drinking beer. Colonel? Hello? Anyone?
Hey, this is Colonel from the Aerodrome Academy. How's everything going here with David Thomas?
You know, it's interesting. I always like to hear that last part of that song, pretty good at drinking beer. Boy, has the worm has changed here in Abilene. If you recall, about a month ago when we were here with the 15 to 18-year-olds, there was a major donor here out of Texas Tech that, you know, called me aside and said, no shot on getting beard. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. He isn't here today, and Beard isn't in Lubbock anymore.
Don't take no stock tips from
him.
It
was interesting talking with David Thomas last night. We all arrived, the coaching staff got in last night into Abilene, and David, you know, Longhorn legend there, you know, he's kind of torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. You know, he lives up there in Lubbock, and he's obviously a lifelong Longhorn, and so he's pleased on one hand that the 40 acres is getting Beard, and he went out of his way to mention at Joe Allen Steakhouse last night that, hey, you know, it's his alma mater. But at the same time, you know, he said, golly, there's some hurting souls up there in Texas Tech, and it goes back to what I said before last week, Jamie, when the big orange phone rings, it's over. And in the 80s, I heard W talking about, you know, 80s baseball. No one did that better than Cliff Gustafson. You know, when he wanted a player, whether he was going to start him or sit him for a couple of years, when the big orange phone rang, they went to Texas. And that's what happened with David Thomas, in fact. You know, he was offered at Texas Tech, right there where he's from, at Friendship High School. But that big orange phone is pretty pretty powerful.
Well, it paid off for David Thomas, didn't it?
It sure did.
National title winner, Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, it's really unique for these young men here at the quarterback and receiver academy here at the Field House, which is about a mile and a half from Abilene Christian University, where the Longhorns took out a little UT frustration after getting eliminated in the basketball tournament, meeting the Abilene Christian Wildcats 18-0 last night at the Dish. So,
hey, Kern, I don't know if you, I know you're busy, but did you get to listen to a little bit of your Chief Texan right here?
Well, as you know, I'm the Chief Texan. I've been on board since the beginning of this deal, and he's doing what's right, and he's building an incredible boot that, you know, I talk about wherever I am. And in fact, there are a couple of the Chiefs boots up here that are out here in big country. You know,
hey.
County, and a lot of people wearing Chiso's boots tomorrow night or Monday night. I'll be at the Big Country Athletics Hall of Fame banquet where Coach Butler is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame For those of you that know Big Country, you're familiar with Coach Butler and everything he's accomplished here in the great state.
Well, are you getting you wearing any cheeses up there at the Aired Out Academy?
No, I'm wearing athletic supply issue from the great Ronnie Flowers tennis shoes. But I tell you, I was in Nakona yesterday with Jeff Fry.
Yeah.
And we can tell his story over and over again, but, you know, second baseman for the Rangers and one of only two Blue Jays to hit for the cycle. And we spent the night at Lake Nakona at a teammate of mine from TCU owns on Lake Nakona. Beautiful lake. And the chief Texan there probably knows a little bit about the town of Nakona.
Absolutely.
They make that Finolio boot, I think that's what it's called.
Finolio is there, Nakona. I mean, that's Justin was originally there. Yeah, that's a great boot history.
Yeah, I just love that little town. Every time I go there, you know, we went to a little pizzeria there on the corner. If you've been to Nakona, you know it well. It's only one in town. And, of course, the owner came and sat with us, and there were some turkey hunters to our left, and we got into a turkey calling contest right there in the restaurant. It was it was a blast. But the thing I want, a couple things I want to talk about today. Yeah, not really.
That's how I got my wife. Turkey calling in a restaurant.
That in a roofie, yeah.
That got Colonel 400 new throw pillows.
Yeah, no question. The ACU took a beating last night in Dish Falk, and TCU beat Oklahoma State Cowboys by one run in Fort Worth. As we've always said on the High Ground, this thing's going to end up Longhorns in Fort Worth the 7th, 8th, and 9th of May. It'll have an 80s feel to it, and I hope they're going to do more than 35% capacity there in Fort Worth, because this three-game set needs to be opened up, in my opinion. The there's a little PSA I'm going to give here, because I've got I don't want to call it tennis elbow because I don't play tennis, but thanks to you, Jamie, I've been working out quite a bit the last 2 years, and my right elbow has just been killing me. And Jeff Fry turned me on to this little product called TheraBand. It's a flex bar that you hold a certain way and flex. And he said it healed him up. He had the same thing a couple years ago. And I've been using this thing for the last 2 days. And I'm telling you, this little magical twisting TheraBand deal is really helped me a lot. So anybody out there suffering with a little tennis elbow, which many of us can in our 50s, this little TheraBand is really a game changer for me. We're not making any money or doing any promotions here, but Jeff Wright turned it on to me, and I'm like, man, this thing works.
Did he use that in the Major League Baseball? Was he? I don't know.
He actually did when he started getting a little soreness in the outside of his left elbow from using on the right elbow. But he used it to kind of clear it up, and I've been using it for 2 days. Anyway, it works well. If anybody's got a little tennis elbow, I recommend the TheraBand. I've been listening to the morning story here, y'all jostling back and forth as I've been sitting in my truck using the TheraBand. So, Jamie, the younger kids are here this weekend. And when I say younger, we're talking 13 to 15-year-olds. These are rising 8th, 9th, and 10th graders. Receivers and quarterbacks, a little bit different sessions that we're doing with them than we do the bigs, we call them. Those are going into their sophomore, junior, or senior year. But thanks to you, Jamie, you brought up a little blind spot for some of the stuff we do here, this idea of situational awareness. And I gave a class, a couple classes last month with the bigs, and I think I'm going to incorporate it in here with the younger ones, because there's so many distractions right now that this idea of getting off the X, and I'll let you talk about that a little bit later, what that means to these young men. When you find yourself in a situation where there's either danger, not uncertainty, but danger or a threat, certainly for a quarterback in the pocket as it begins to collapse, get off the X and get off that position where you are vulnerable, whether you're driving a car, whether you're in a getting jammed up at the line of scrimmage as a receiver, get off the X. And I think that this group, we've been with them now for a couple of years, one weekend a month, kind of like being in the reserves. But I think they're ready for this situational awareness class, and so I think I'm going to throw that at them today. And you had a great deal to do with that, and I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the biggest things in special operations. When you're on the X, people are shooting off you. It's shooting at you. Get off the X. That's the first thing.
Jump to the Y.
Yeah.
I did have a session I just finished with the parents, and I talked about bulldozing for your children, bulldozing a path to success for them, and the dangers and the second, third order effects of being a bulldozer parent. And I had the opportunity to be a bulldozer parent for our youngest daughter in the last month or so. She had interviewed for an internship at Sewell Auto Group, made it to the third interview, but after the third interview, she did not get selected for the internship. So I hit the network up, and right away, you know, I had three guys on the network tell me, hey, we can make this happen. And I thought about it for a couple of 3 days, and I said, wait a minute here. You know, I need to let this young lady of 21 years old, a junior, find her own path and struggle with this. And so I ended up calling the three guys back who said, hey, look, you know, I'm right here in Barbados with the, you know, executive vice president of Sewell, and we're ready to make it happen. And I had to call him and say, you know, as a dad, it was kind of hard, but I knew it was the right thing to do. I said, you know, after further thought, I'm going to let this 21-year-old handle her business and work through this challenge herself. And as a result, she ended up getting two other internship offers. And you know, I was just thinking about that today, was talking to these parents.
Yeah, I've always looked at our failures. You learn way more than failures or non-successes than you do from successes, because they, you know, successes tend to come easy because you kind of expect it, but the failures, you're always finding, you get to retool yourself and figure out why it didn't work for me. So
yeah, and no one's experienced more, you know, failures going through the bootmaking process than that gentleman.
This is why I'm so wise.
Failure after failure.
That's right. We got the Neo Ben Franklin right here. Or is that Thomas Edison?
I got people texting me about flip flops from the Chisos. What the? I just want them to work on boots. Let's stay away from flip flops.
You know, the result of those struggles that, you know, Will Roman went through as the chief Texan for Chisos resulted in what I call an elite product. And people throw that term around rather flippantly lately. But when you talk about elite, you're only talking about the top 4% of products, organizations, teams, individuals. And because he went through all of those struggles early on, and made those long trips out to, you know, the big country and out west, you know, he now, because he went through all of that, has an elite product that now going, you know, over 2 years now is doing quite well. I want to talk to you about one more person. I was on the phone with Eric Raines yesterday on the drive down here because I wanted to make him aware of this singer-songwriter who's going through his challenges right now on a path to success, and he just released his album. You know this name, Jamie, because we had them live in our studio on the High Ground about a year ago. Nate Frederick, and he sang with his two other band members a cappella this song, The Dreamer, and it's a great song. I would love for Johnny Oates to get the chorus of The Dreamer dialed up so he could perhaps play it after Red Red Wine, but the album is out now by Nate Frederick. I talked to Nate yesterday. He was en route to Nashville. He's playing 3 or 4 nights. And I brought it to the attention of Eric Raines. And, of course, you know, Eric reminded me, you know, this business is about relationships like so many other things in life. And so if you're going to launch an up-and-comer guy that was on the High Ground just a year ago who's now got his first album out, Nate Frederick out of Missouri is a great one to watch.
All right, Colonel, hey, you say hi to everybody up there in Abilene for us. I think you should listen to the Wine of the Week coming up. Will Brown's going to have his own special little spiel on it. But we're going to see you back in the studio soon, and just keep it high and dry up there on the High Ground, sir.
All right, gentlemen, we'll see you on the High Ground.
We'll be back.
Red, red, bourbon. Goes to Mike, eat, eat, eat.
What? Makes me forget that I...
Hell yeah.
Who came up with
still
this?
Need her
Johnny Oates. It's a little spin on a red wine.
I like the remix. Yeah. This is great. The Texas, keep it rolling.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
Here we go.
Yes.
We got the Drew Brown Texas Hill Country Wine of the Week. The great Drew Brown Realty team with Wilson Goldrick out there is sponsoring not the Wine of the Week, but we are going with the Texas Bourbon of the Week, brought to you by Brent Dickey. Brent Dickey is no longer with us simply because we asked him to leave. This Texas Wine of the Week is a bourbon, the Treaty Oak Ghost Hill Texas Bourbon. It's made of 57% Texas Yellow Dent, number one corn, 32% Texas wheat, 11% American barley. It's crafted entirely in Dripping Springs, Texas. Distinct aromas of roasted corn and corn nuts, hint of orchard, and fruit sweetness. Ooh, I like the sweet parts of these of the whiskey or the bourbon. Flavors of honey, peanut, pralines, and graham crackers. All right, now we're getting a little weird. Deeply reminiscent of a honey smack cereal. Is this a joke, guys?
No, it's true.
This a real,
it's a real right? bourbon.
Delicious bourbon, well crafted and dangerously easy to drink. That is our wine / bourbon of the week, brought to you by the Drew Brown family of Wilson and Goldrick. I like that, guys. That's fun.
We get a little switch up.
Yeah.
But we got a little Texas bourbon. They're actually, the Texas bourbon scene is really, really blowing up. And
Yeah,
it's gone crazy. I do like a sweet bourbon, just a little bit of honey type.
Well, for the bourbon taste. People out there, you can bring bourbon up in the studios from 10 to 11 on Saturdays.
or have a nice glass of bourbon at 3507.
I've got bourbon flowing.
While you're wearing
while you're shopping, absolutely, 100%.
I just don't understand the graham crackers and pralines.
Well, I don't, sugar smacks, that's it. I don't know.
Okay. This is like a really like elevated fireball shot.
That's it. Right there. Dripping Springs.
That's what it is.
It's a Texas. It's right down the road from us.
That's awesome. Good.
So tell us what's going on. We still have the alligator boots going out. Do we have the special alligator
absolutely.
Edition?
Yeah.
In any of the models?
You could any toe shape. So the story there for y'all listening is that we have the only Texas wild hunted alligator boot you can buy anywhere. In the fall, we go out and we go hunting in Anahuac, Texas, and go shoot some gators and make boots out of them.
Is there a color that you can pick?
Or they're all black. So it takes 9 months to tan an alligator hide.
Wow.
So yeah, but there's shout out to the Bless Foundation. We donated a pair in a hunting trip to their fundraiser in December, and they do a lot of good work around Central Texas and. They sold for $30,000.
That's awesome.
They're all for charity, but $30,000. So yeah, you can get them for a little bit less.
Well, I was gonna say.
Go to cheesehouse.com. But a big thing we have, I know it's a little way out, but May 29th.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're having barbecue. We're having some bands. We're gonna have Cowboy Diplomacy and Jonathan Terrell at Cheesehouse headquarters. May 29th.
You got some food there.
We got my buddies, a competition barbecue smoker, Patrick Wiltsey,
going
to be on
man.
The man in 11 hours of brisket smoking. So 4 to 8 p.m. May 29th. Come on down. We're going to raise money. It's looking like for the Camp Mabry Military Museum.
That's
so
awesome.
It's definitely going to have a charity aspect. So
Fiesta at the Cheezos Boot Factory.
Yes,
in
sir.
The
May 29th, 4 to 8 p.m.
You nailed it.
That's awesome. 3507 South First Street. If you haven't been by the Cheezos headquarters, you need to stop by and say hi to the Chief Texan, Will Roman.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great place to sit back, look at boots, try them on, and have a nice beer, have a nice bourbon, relax, and get to meet the Chief Texas.
2 to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday.
2 to 6 p.m. Monday
through
Friday.
Can we say if you come in and buy all 1 through 5 boots, you get a free hat?
if you buy $30,000 worth of boots, you get a free hat.
Can you get a t-shirt out of that deal?
Yeah, we can make that happen.
You got to buy 1 through 5 all at once, though.
Maybe I'll give you a bunch of bourbon, then we'll see if it
happens. Yeah, the bourbon.
The bourbon first.
Well, There's stuff happened this weekend. The University of Texas is playing Abilene Christian out there.
That's right. I wanted to ask Colonel if Shaka felt vindicated.
In what way?
Well, we got revenge back on ACU.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, Shaka's doing well. Marquette, he's up there. Great fit. We got Beard back here. I think we're gonna. It's a
win-win
ecosystem that wins for everyone. And you know, everyone likes Shaka. He was loved by everybody. He's a good person. Just didn't work out well for him at the end. But get out there. Dishfall Field, Occupy Left Field is out there. Big shout out to Fast Eddie, and he's always out there for the games. And then Trey Stone will be out there too. One of our favorite lawyers in the Austin Jackson area.
There might be a Jerry Epps sighting out there too. You never know.
Jerry.
What's, yeah. I'm so glad to bring Jerry up.
Yeah. He's a little mad about the Brent Dickey Memorial.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
He's get highlighted, but he never listens. So, you know.
Well, everybody go see Jerry out at Dishfalk this weekend.
Does Brent ever show up? Dickey
to
out
Dishfalk?
There? Yeah.
Not really. I'll go drag him out there for a few games this year, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about the Joe Rogan coming up buying the
One World Theater.
One World
right.
Theater.
That's yeah. awesome.
You know, I saw that his podcast, he's got a new studio setting, so I guess they already moved it out there.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because I think he was at the On It Gym, kind of connected to that.
He was, then he moved to another one.
And so now it looks like they got the new studio going.
Yeah, we need to get a new studio. We do the 512X podcast. You guys are looking forward to listening to more of Will Brown and Jamie Frazier.
Yeah, a couple knuckleheads out there.
We need more of us. We're doing the podcast. You go to xcheck.io/radio. You can listen to us again all week long.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah, it's exciting over there.
And we do our podcast from the Chizos headquarters studio, which is just a neat little place to go in there. Yeah. Exciting stuff coming up. You got the draft coming up on the 29th. A lot of people are seeing where the pieces and parts are going to fall for there. The carousel of quarterbacks in the NFL is still going on. You know, every week there's a new move.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then the draft coming up with all the UT players. Mm-hmm. Pretty excited about that.
Love it.
Getting our name out there and getting UT back to the top. And the SARC reports are coming in every day.
And let's give a little congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama in Japan for winning a Masters. Do you know the a girl from Japan won the amateur there at the Masters too?
There you go.
Good week for them.
Taking over the sports. Well, Johnny, thank you very much. Will Brown, thank you. Will Rome,
thank
the
you.
Chief Texan. Chief
thank
says
you.
Boots, thank you.
Get
we'll
dirty.
See
get
you
dirty.
Next
get dirty.
Week.
Look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing.